level up. Here's a quote for you. The best contribution you can make to your world is to level up and become the best version of yourself. I'm going to say that again for those who are taking notes. The best contribution you can make to your world is to level up and become the best version of yourself. Who you are today is the sum total of the investments that you've made in changing and developing you. I don't want you to think about anybody else today. I want you to think about you. You are the sum total of the investment that you've made in you. I believe, my personal belief, is that many of our issues and our problems can be eliminated if we just fix ourselves, if we just change ourselves. I'm not saying there's not schemes of people out there scheming. I'm not saying the devil doesn't want to steal, kill, and destroy you. I'm saying that I believe a lot of our issues come from self-sabotage. Self-sabotage. You are, listen to this, we said this last week, you are adopted, you're blessed, you're created by God, you're delivered by God, you're empowered by God, and you're favored by God. Why? So you can shine. That's why the Bible says, let your light shine. You have been empowered, you've been favored, you've been blessed, you've been created, so you shine. So therefore, you need to level up. Can I get one amen? I'm going to give you some reasons why you should level up. Number one, when God created you, it was by design and on purpose. In other words, you're not an accident. You're not an accident. Tell somebody next to you, you're not an accident. You're not an accident. Genesis 1:26, for those of you taking notes, God had a conversation. He said, let us make man. And then the second thing he said, he created us in his own image and his own likeness, which means, remember what we said last week? You want to know what God looks like? What do we do?
What we do?
Why? You're created in his image and his likeness. Number three, reason why you should level up. He's blessed you with authority and abilities and resources up front. He didn't say, do this and then I'll bless you afterwards. Genesis 1 verse 28 says, and God blessed you and blessed them and then said. So he gave you the authority, the resources, the abilities up front. So you have everything you need that's necessary to fulfilling kingdom mission, which we just talked about. So imagine this. I just want you to imagine this, picture this. I say to you, I want you to travel around the whole world and come back and give me a report. And here's 5 million to do it. How many people would struggle with that? Just lift your hand for me, please, if you struggle. Nobody. Why? Because I've asked you to do something, but I've given you the resources to do it. That's what God's done in your life. That ability, that gift, that authority that you have, the resources you have, is so you can fulfill kingdom mission. And kingdom mission, please hear me, it doesn't just mean church. That's just one aspect. It means out in the marketplace. Jesus spent one day as custom in the synagogues. I'm not saying don't come to church. One day as custom and 6 days he was in the marketplace. That's why they said, how can he be no Messiah? He's around sinners all the time. You've been given those gifts and those abilities so you can fulfill kingdom mission. He gave number four clear instructions. This, if you want to know what the will of God is for your life, just listen into this. He gave clear instructions in verse 28 of Genesis 1. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. So the purposes of God for you is clear. I'm going to break that down for you. Being fruitful. Being fruitful is simply to be productive. That's all it is. To bear fruit, to grow, to increase. Multiplying is to profit. I know it's a bad word in church, but to profit. That this Bible, I'm just giving you Bible. It's not my opinion. This is the Bible. Multiplies to profit, to get abundance, greater, exceedingly many, and much more. Are you still with me? Can we go to the next level? All right. Replenish. Replenish is to put back in, complete, fill, gather, and to refill. When you go to the supermarket, they've usually faced up and added everything to the shelves ready for you coming. That's to replenish. They say one of the things you should do after you've paid God or honored God with your finances, and this is unbelievers now. This is getting really troubling for me, because unbelievers are telling us how we're supposed to operate. And it's sounding more kingdom than us. They're saying, give to God in your tithe and your offering, pay yourself, and then live on the rest. This is unbelievers. The amount of unbelievers, one of which I don't too truly care for, and I couldn't understand, why is this person a billionaire? Then they said, oh, we tithe. I thought, what? I know you're an unbeliever. You are not saved. You tithe. I was like, well, if you tithe, I can't touch you. I can't touch you. Then I started to change my mentality, because I thought, oh, I may not like this person, but if they tithe in, they're doing something. They've obviously got to the mindset of giving to God, taking care of God's business. Then it says to subdue. This is a tough one. Subdue means to pacify, to bring into subjection, to force, to keep under and make subservient. Remember, I'm still talking about us leveling up. And then number five is to have dominion, have power, prevail, rule, and reign. How many of you could prevail and rule and reign a little bit more? Could you handle some bit more? Okay, three of you, okay. You owe it to God to level up and be the person God created you to be. He created you to be, he commissioned you to be, he called you to be, and you have a duty to do that from today. If you're not already doing it, you have a duty. Because remember, we said he made you by design, made you with purpose. All right. Can I give you some reasons why we're not the best us? We're not the best, you're not the best you. You're not leveling up. Let me give you some reasons. Dr. Miles Monroe says it this way: when purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Let me say that again. When purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. In other words, being ignorant and or refusing to accept God's purpose for your life, then it can lead to, listen to these words, self-sabotage and ultimately self-destruct. Remember I said, made the statement, I think a lot of our problems can be dealt with if we just fix us. All right. You have enough haters in the world. Don't join the fan club. Don't join the haters club. There's too many haters. There's too many people this morning who are sad about your progress. They're not happy. They're just not happy. So the best contribution you can make to your world is to level up and become the best version of yourself. All right. How can you recognize self-sabotage? Who wants to know? Nobody? Two people, three people, four people, okay. Let me give you some examples. When you don't prioritize working on yourself, eventually you will diminish and lose your value. You will self-sabotage when you do number one, abandon yourself by not prioritizing your personal development. Did you get that? When you abandon yourself and don't focus on prioritizing your personal development, spirit, soul, body, professional, relational, you devalue yourself, You can't give to others what you don't have. Would you agree? You can't give to others what you haven't got. So therefore, if you want to give to others, you must first do what? Give to yourself. I know that's hard. Because everybody's mindset is probably that, well, if I focus on me, that's being selfish. No, you're doing us a favor. You're doing us all a favor. When I focus on me, I'm doing you, my wife, my children, God, everybody a favor. All right. No, amens. Maybe I don't need to improve. My wife was like, yeah, you are. Whatever you want to bless others with, you must first be the recipient yourself. Yeah? Remember I said a few weeks ago, I don't really respect money. I don't worship money. Money is just a tool. It's not that I don't need money, I don't want money, I don't like money in that respect, but it's not going to be my God. It's not going to rule me. And so I said to my wife, you know what? I just want to sow into somebody's life. I just want to sow into somebody's life. And she didn't even ask me how much. She did remind me, make sure charity begins at home, though. Sowing into other people's lives. If I didn't have it to sow, I wouldn't have it to give. How many people have been in positions where you just wanted to meet somebody's need, you wanted to sow into their lives, and you didn't have it? And you're like, God, if I had it, you know, I'd give it. I told God, I'm not letting you down. I'm not letting you down. And then this week, I kind of sensed in my spirit, God made a statement to me. Ask me anything you want. I thought, no, that's not our relationship, God. That's not our kind of relationship. Our kind of relationship is, you've given everything for me, I give everything for you. If you don't do anything else for me, you've done enough. And I've been niggling, ask me for what you want. I said, all right, okay, cool. So I started typing away in my computer. And what I was typing away, I did a check on, and there's only 18 countries in the world at that level. That's what I was asking God for. Because the Bible says it gives us power to get wealth so we can do what? Establish his covenant. I want to be trusted by God. Do you? Yeah. Whatever you want to bless others with, you must first be the recipient. The more I receive God's love, the better I can love others. We tend to miss that out in the scripture where it says, love your neighbor. But we just end there. We don't go to the as you love yourself. So we're fantastic at loving our neighbor, but we hate ourselves. Come on. It's time we love ourselves. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, what did he do? That whosoever should not but have. Does anybody know the next verse? God did not send his son into this world to do what? Condemn, break down, push you down. That's not God's purpose at all. So we secondly have to recognize self-sabotage by believing negative narratives about ourselves, and sometimes it's by ourselves. Negative narratives. Whose report will you believe? I know, okay, I know. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. I can't believe the report of the Lord because he says I'm good. He says I'm healed. He says I'm blessed. And I don't want to believe that because all the voices around me are telling me that's the opposite. Believing negative narratives. It's sometimes easier to believe the negative and the lie than it is the truth. You are today what you believe and think about yourself. As a man thinketh, what you consistently do, what you consistently think is you. It's not anybody else. It's you. Don't listen, look at, and say negative things about yourself because this affects your belief system. Don't say it. Close it off. Change your thinking, change your attitude. Change your behavior, change your communication, and ultimately you'll come into diligence in action. But it starts with the thinking. As a man thinks, Proverbs 23:7, in his heart, so he is. Third, self-sabotage. Underestimating your unique value and contribution. Somebody tells you you're good at something. No, I'm not. False humility. We've mixed up humility with false humility. False humility is saying about yourself something God did not say. Oh, I'm nothing. Oh, no. Everybody else is better than me. Oh, no. False humility. True humility. I'm adopted by God. I'm the apple of his eye. He wishes above all things that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Saying what God says about you is true humility. Why? Because you have to submit to it. You have to submit to it. You can tell the value of something, and we said this before, by the price paid. How much was paid for you? Question. What was the price paid for you? Come on now, this is beginner's Christianity 101. How much was paid for you? God gave his. All right. We find it easy to accept and celebrate the value in others, but somehow believe it is wrong to see our own value as God sees us. God paid the ultimate price for you, Micah family. Nothing you can do about it. He paid the ultimate price for you, so your value is beyond comprehension. You're priceless. I know that's hard to believe, because everything around you says, no, you're not. And you've believed the negative reports. You're priceless, you're just coming into your pricelessness. It's already done. It's how God works. For God so loved the world, we said it already, John 3:16. Fourth way you sabotage. Settling for a life below your level of ability and talent. You're 8, 9 out of 10, professional, skill, ability, academics, and you live a 3 out of 10 life. It's not anybody else's fault. Say to somebody, it's on me. It's on me. You already got the levels. Nelson Mandela used this in his inauguration speech. He says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate, but that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that must frighten us. Asking ourselves, who am I to be brilliant? Who am I to be gorgeous? Who am I to be talented? Who am I to be fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Who are you not to be? He says, you are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. It doesn't. It does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people will not feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory that is with of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in all of us. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates other people. Last one. Being exploited by lusters at times for our own pleasure. People and the evil one only have the power in your life that you give them. All right. You're looking at me like that's not true. You're walking past the cake shop. You know that's not on your diet list. But you can smell the cake. Is it just me? I'm not even a great cake lover. But you smell the cake, and within 3 seconds, your mind says, you have to do that, and before you know it, you're in there ordering. Is it the baker's fault? Is it the council's fault for letting them have a shop on the street? No, it isn't, is it? I made the decision, right? So I wanted the cake. And then here's my get out of jail card. You see that devil? You see that devil? That devil's bad, man. Was it the devil? Just be honest, I wanted the cake with the cream. And usually what happens, not anymore, but usually what used to happen is I'm having a box because now I convince myself, I can't just buy it for myself. I could buy for my wife as well. And then when I get home, oh, I bought you these. Can you see the process? I brought you these. No, I brought me these. That's the truth. I bought me these, but it sounds better, doesn't it? When I say, I brought you these. Oh, darling, that's so wonderful. Which one's yours? Oh, these three. But there's four. Two, right? No. I knew you didn't like this one, so it's not the devil's fault, is it? It's mine. People only have access that we grant them. There's three types of access. Number one, access granted. Means permission or rights to do something. Access restricted means permissions limited to certain areas. This is the one I need to do to myself. Access denied. Cakes denied. Means no permission or no rights of entry. Don't be deceived. Bad decisions and bad company does corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. All right, let's finally take this home then and look at the kingdom process for change. Kingdom process for change. If you are to level up your whole life this year and fulfilling kingdom mission, as we said, you must start by changing you. You must start by changing you. Jesus came straight out of the wilderness and started preaching a message. And he only preached one message. And it was this: repent, change, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand or has come near. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Repent. Repent, when I was growing up, was almost like a rebuke. It was almost like a belt, like, repent. But all it means is to change. That's all repent means, is to change. However, there are levels to repentance. Repent means change one's mind for the better and heartily to amend with abhorrence for sin. It's regret and remorse. Two words. If you refuse to change the kingdom way, you will forfeit your kingdom rights, privileges, and ability to fulfill kingdom mission in 2024. So how do we repent? Number one, level one of repentance, change of mind. Is it possible for me to change my mind but not change my heart? Yes or no? Let me ask you a question. Did Judas change his mind? Remember? He did the deal for the 30 pieces of silver. Then he was like, no. I'll give you the money back. I don't want to do this. What did he do after that? Killed himself, right? So he had a change of mind, but not heart. Second level is change of inner man, which is a change of heart. Is it possible I can have a change of mind, change my heart, but not change my purpose? Is that possible? Yes? Two of you? Yeah? David, when he was praying his prayer in Psalms 51, said to God, listen, I was shaped and formed in iniquity. You know my heart. Creating me a clean heart. He'd already repented, or level one repented, had sorrow and regret. Intellectually changed his mind. All this is wrong. But he wanted his heart changing. So that's why he prayed that prayer. Number three level of repentance. Change of intentions, which is change of purpose. So I've changed my mind. I'm saying, God, change my heart. I'm now changing my purpose. the what's motivating me to do what I do, the direction I'm going in now is changing. Are you with me so far? I've changed my mind. I've said God changed my heart. But now I'm saying, what direction am I going in? Where's my purpose? New purpose. I'm going from seeking self to seeking kingdom. Last level of change, repentance, is this. Change of lifestyle, which is a change of image. Old school church used to say, the places I used to go, come on, the people I used to hang with, the things I used to do, change of lifestyle, change of your image, which is a change of your lifestyle. And if you're taking notes, Luke chapter 9, verse 8 to 10 gives you a great example of that. So, what is true repentance or true change? True repentance is a change of mind, heart, purpose, and lifestyle. Until we've done all those, we haven't fully repented. We haven't fully repented. The only way I can get remission of sins or forgiveness of sins, which is really deliverance, forgiveness, liberty, be pardoned, release from bondage or imprisonment, is if I repent God's way. It's remission of sins is only promised to people who repent God's way. Change of mind, change of heart, change of purpose, change of lifestyle. Jesus talked about this as a mystery of the kingdom. You will only change when you acknowledge and accept you need change. So Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, the mystery of the kingdom of God has been given to you who have teachable hearts, but those who are outside, the unbelievers, the spiritually blind, get everything in parables. So when Jesus starts to speak in parables, he's saying that so that people can understand. Because lack of understanding gets you in trouble. People whose hearts are closed will never see, understand, or have kingdom change. Just facts. That's Jesus, not me. He's got a way. He said he was the way. And you're not getting to the Father unless you go his way. That's a bold statement, isn't it? You can see why they wanted to kill Jesus, isn't it? Because he made some boss statements. Jesus is so committed to your success, Micah family, that with everything he's teaching so you can understand, so you can come to the next level, so you can level up. All right. Parable of the sower. Jesus teaches about the sower and the soil in Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 25. Read it in your own time. He says, a sower went out to sow seed. The sower is represented by anybody who sows the word of God. Get the picture. And the good news regarding the way of salvation, that's a sower. Anybody who's witnessing to people, sharing the word with people, sowers. The soil, on the other hand, is represented by four different types of ground. Because he's speaking agriculture to people in that day who were agriculture. But really, it's four different types of hearts and people. In this parable, Jesus shows us four different types of hearts and people. See if you can see yourself in one of these hearts and these people. Heart number one, the roadside person. The roadside heart or person is the one along the roadside where the word is sown. When they hear it, immediately Satan takes it away from them because they lack understanding. So they can't level up. Number one, when you lack understanding, this will give Satan opportunity in your life and limit your ability to level up. Proverbs 4:7 says, the beginning of wisdom is get skillful and godly wisdom. It's preeminent. And with all you're acquiring, get what? Understanding. Second person, the rocky heart person. Rocky heart person is the one on the rocky ground where the word is sown. When they hear it, they do receive it with joy. They accept it though superficially. It's why when you're in a room where information is being passed, you've got to be switched on. And they have no real root in themselves, so they only endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, immediately they are offended, watch this, and displeased at being associated with God. So they stumble and fall away. That's the second person, the rocky heart. When your foundations in the word are shallow, you will struggle to handle adversity. This is a limit to your ability to level up. James chapter 1, 12 says, blessed is the man that who is steadfast under trial and perseveres when tempted, for when he has passed the test and been proven, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which the Lord God has promised to those who love him. James chapter 1, 12. Third person, one more and we're finished. Is the razor heart of person. Razor heart of person. This person is the one where the word is sown among thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of and cares of the world, the distractions of this age with its worldly pleasures and the deceitfulness, the false security or glamour of wealth or fame and passion, desires for all other things creep in and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You can't level up. What are they doing? Worries and cares, worldly distractions, worldly pleasures, wealth and fame. Jesus says to seek first the kingdom, right? And he'll add those things to you. He said, don't worry about this stuff. You just seek the kingdom and I'll add the stuff to you. When you're distracted, deceived, and are full of desires for worries, worldly pleasures, and wealth and fame, this chokes the word and limits your ability to level up. Last person, and we're done. The last person is the right-hearted person. How many of you are right-hearted this morning? All right, four. We got work to do, Pastor. We got work to do. The right-hearted person is the one who, where the word is sown on the ground, good ground, sorry, and they hear the word of God, the good news regarding the way of salvation. They accept it, bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 times as much as sown. Sounds like they're leveling up, right? What do? They hear, they accept, and they put it to work. The best contribution you can make to your world is to level up and change to become the best person for yourself. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. Now, final question. Did you find yourself in there? Which of the persons are you? I want you to think about that. I want you to take that home with you. Because next week we're going to look at, regardless which one of those you are, how to get to the good soil. Like I said, the best contribution you can make to your world is to do what? Level up and become who? The best version of you. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next one.